Are you ready?
Oh yeah.
All right, episode 23 of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shitlist. I am Matt.
And I am Alex Mann playing the part of Nick Cross.
It's just like the soap operas, like when it would show a character walk up to a door and then pause and be like, on today's episode, Manuel would be played by Hector Elizondo or whatever, you know, and then like it's like for one day. Yeah. For one day they just switch out the characters.
And you immediately went to the Hispanics there for the example.
Well, that's because the only soap opera I ever watched as a kid was Santa Barbara, which actually had
Santa Barbara
which actually had a couple of Hispanic characters.
Right.
And it is where I learned all of my Spanish.
Things like adultery.
Los adultery. Los adultery, I think, is what you're...
El vasectomy.
Vasectomy, yes. All right. We also have joining us at the show, what's the name of this cat?
Angstrom.
Angstrom is attacking the laptop, so we'll see how this goes. For those of you that don't know, Alex Mann is a Bloomington notable. He's played in several bands, everything from heavy metal to Americana and everything in between, right? I mean,
right.
That's true.
That's
heavy metal. You don't like heavy metal? Is that
metal?
Metal, not heavy metal.
Sometimes it's
new
heavy.
Metal with a
now metal.
He was in Korn. He doesn't like to talk about it very often.
Well, that was after Slipknot.
That was. He just made the rounds of all the greats. He's the James Jamerson of new metal, really.
Oh, thank you.
No, but you've played in a lot of different types of bands and everything. And in addition to that, you also you've worked in the music industry. Worked at an independent label for several years. And
a few years.
You taught Italian. Is that it?
I did teach Italian.
Indiana University. Yes, exactly. But you just got back from a tour with Austin Lucas, so we'll be talking about that. But first, of course, as always, we have our drinking challenge review here. We have a special two-parter. And on the first half of this drinking challenge, we're on our own. But then we're going to work together on the second half, if that intrigues you at all.
Like one bottle, two straws kind of thing?
Exactly. If only this was a video blog instead of a podcast. We will be drinking something called Natty Daddy. That I saw in the store. Now this
8%
is
8% alcohol.
It's 8% alcohol lager from the makers of Natty Light.
Brewed with natural lights, all natural ingredients.
Yeah, but so it is a high gravity malt liquor, I believe.
We got 24 ounces here.
There's 24 ounces of it. It's a lager, and it's very minimalist. Just some. I don't know, it's just like a baby blue can, and then the words Natty Daddy, which caught my eye.
All right.
Do you have any predictions of how this is going to taste?
It's going to have a smoky umbrella with notes of leather.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is...
I've had worse.
I've had, that's why you're on the show. it has the...
remember Camo?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was trying
to... That's the first thing that popped into my head.
I was trying to place it. It tastes exactly like Camo. In fact,
well,
I think they just repackaged
it.
Yes. Natty Daddy, you are geniuses. You're bringing the... So it tastes like Camo, but Camo also was in like the giant oil can thing. It was like six beers in one can sort of thing, and this is probably only like 4.5 to 5 beers.
Right.
So, but
a lot more reasonable.
Exactly, much more reasonable. All right.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to this paternal guidance here.
Exactly.
Natty Daddy.
I think by the end of this, I will have some daddy issues, some Natty Daddy issues. And by that, I mean diarrhea. That's what Natty Daddy issues are.
Oh, Daddy, it hurts.
You did just get back from tour. You were out with Austin Lucas.
Right, and the Bold Party.
The Bold Party is the name of the backing.
Right.
How did you guys come up with the name, the Bold Party?
Well, funny you should ask. Austin claims that it was on some kind of dare.
Okay.
I don't know the backstory there. But those of you who are snack enthusiasts might recognize the name from a certain kind of Chex Mix.
Oh, there's a Bold Party Chex Mix?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Wow.
And those of you who know Mike Dixon and know that he loves his candies and his snacks. Mm-hmm. When we first told him that the name of the band was The Bold Party, immediately he was just like, "You mean like the Chex Mix?"
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, Mike also, he doesn't drink or do drugs, right?
Right.
So that those are his drugs, basically. Absolutely. Snacks and candies and stuff and sugar.
He is a sugar junkie.
Sugar junkie. Yeah. All right. I just want to bring him back down to my level.
Right. Dr. Dixon, you're no better than the rest of us.
That's right. What's your drug? Honesty? Oh, you're so awesome, aren't you?
You know, we can take care of this.
Oh, yes. We do. We're having more ninja cat attacks. He's trying to unplug.
Gonna, here, let me just,
not a fan of the podcast, apparently.
You can rip while I
Angstrom.
Do this.
Is that his Angstrom? Angstrom.
Say goodbye, Angstrom.
Goodbye, Angstrom. Angstrom is an adorable kitty, but he was biting into the power cable of the laptop that powers this podcast. And as you just heard, that was the gunshot. Alex has taken care of the problem. It was. Sounded like a small caliber handgun.
I use a silencer so you can hear the gunshot on the podcast.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, that's good.
He is sequestered now.
Okay.
With his own can of Natty Daddy back there.
Yes, exactly. Which is actually even crueler than just if you had shot him, actually. Well, it's funny that so you're named after Bold Chex Mix, and you, my friend, have. You're doing a first here. This is your first time on the podcast, right. And you decided to go big. You have brought snacks to the podcast. The first person to ever bring. Now, I noticed that these look like normal snacks, not like really shitty snacks that go with the alcohol that we're drinking.
No, man. Top shelf.
Top shelf. But they're not the Bold Party ones.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I like to separate work and play, you know.
Of course, yes. Well, I didn't know if you guys were, like, sponsored by them, and you were just, like, every cabinet in your house that I'd open it up is just packed full of just Chex Mix. Yeah. So what is the snack that you have here?
Well, we've got munchies from Frito-Lay.
Okay, but there's several logos at the top of this. It says Cheetos, Doritos, Rolled Gold, and Sun Chips. And so they're all just mixed up in here in like a fucking gangbang in your mouth.
Okay. Exactly.
So it's
every handful is a surprise.
Just like a gangbang. So we're about to have a Frito-Lay gangbang in our mouth to go along with our daddy issues.
There we go. The sound of fun.
I will. This just looks like the floorboard of my car. That's what this looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, they just basically sweep up the factory floor, put in these bags, and then charge twice the price.
Genius. Yeah. Brilliant. It's good, though.
Right.
Gotta love a good snack. All right, so let's ask, what is your favorite snack? Is it the gangbang snack?
This one's pretty good. I'm a big fan of Bugles.
Really?
Yeah. I like those. I'm a fan of the kettle cooked potato chips, the crunchy kind, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jalapeno flavored, maybe.
Okay. Okay. So you're like a salty, salty, crunchy kind of guy.
Right.
All right. Very good. Yeah. I'm actually surprised
Which means
that they
I'm
still
a sweaty
make
sweaty hippie. Yeah.
I didn't say
salty,
that.
Salty, crunchy kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know they were still making Bugles. That's news to me. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Oh yeah, and they even got like a peanut butter dip Bugles and chocolate Bugles and shit like that.
Those both sound awful to me, but no. Very good. I'm also a savory person. I like salty. I could eat nachos every single day of my life.
Yeah.
Any kind of nachos. Could be shitty ballpark nachos, gourmet, put your fucking spinach on there nachos, whatever. I'll do it. As long as there's
put your fucking spinach on there.
I don't care. Corn tortilla, as long as a corn tortilla is involved, I'm in board. So
you know what the original nacho was?
The Dorito that was originally it was taco flavored Doritos. Have you had those? The throwback ones? Seriously, I'm not making this up.
The original nacho taco flavored Doritos. Yes,
I was just guessing.
Invented by an American corporation.
Yes, right. Yes. No, what was it? Was it Italian?
Yeah, it was Italian.
Was it?
Like everything else
from the Chinese?
That's been co-opted
from the Chinese. It was Italian, like everything is from the Chinese, like noodles.
Because Mexican culture is basically a combination of Italian and Chinese.
Yes, exactly. Where they were the first two countries to settle in the Mexican Peninsula, as everyone knows. Listen, challenge if anyone out there has the internet and they'll go to the Wikipedia page of Mexico and please change it so that it reads that it was settled by Italian and Chinese explorers.
Right, and you'll find that the original name of Puerto Vallarta was Little Beijing.
Yes.
No, but I saw this on TV too, so okay. I know it's true.
It must be then.
But there was a guy who owned a cantina, and he had some friends over. It was after hours. He didn't have anything to offer them. So he got creative and chopped up a bunch of corn tortillas and fried them to make the chips.
Right.
And then he put a slice of jalapeno on each one of them and a little cheese. And that's it. That's the original nacho.
Hmm.
Each one has one slice of jalapeno and a little cheese on it.
That sounds delicious to me.
Oh, absolutely.
That sounds suspiciously like the origin story of buffalo wings from the porthole. I forget what it's called. Like it's called the Porthole Inn or something like that. That's not it because that's out at Lake Lemon. But it's something like that. It's in Buffalo, New York.
Uh-huh.
The lady who owned the restaurant, her son and his friends came in. It was after closing. They were all hungry because they had just had sports practice or some shit. And the only thing she had is...
Lost a football game.
They just lost a football game. Exactly. They played for the Buffalo Bills. No. She had all the chicken wings or whatever that she was just going to use to make the soup stock.
Uh-huh.
And then instead, because they were hungry right then or whatever, she just said, okay. So then she just, you know, cooked them up and made up some sauces.
Yeah, and the only other things in the kitchen were Frank's hot sauce and butter.
Yes, exactly.
Like, what can I do with these?
Exactly. So, I mean, I didn't see that on TV, so it may not be true. I only ate at the restaurant, but claimed it. So, yeah. All right. We're off in a combative sort of angle here. 11 minutes in. Okay, this is good.
This has turned into a food history.
I know. All right. Fuck it.
You think Anthony Bourdain is going to pick this up?
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain is coming to Bloomington. Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
Bourdain is coming to speak at IU. I'm going to write him an email and tell him the places if he's going to be shooting that he needs to go to in town.
Okay.
I think Nick's, because, you know, he likes to drink, so he'll do Sink the Biz, and he'll have, like, a Dick's Burger or whatever. Right. I think he's got to do one of the Tibetan restaurants, because of our tie-in with the Dalai Lama.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
Right. Chipotle is the best Tibetan restaurant. For my money.
Well, yes, because, you know, we forgot to mention that China had already taken over Tibet when they discovered Mexico. So there's some Tibetan culture in Mexican food, too. It gets mixed up in there. No, and then, you know, the Happy Pig for, like, a late night at the bar.
He loves food carts.
He loves food carts, and that's, like, a cool food. So, like, I'm going to write him an email and see.
Excellent.
My friend Taha Tonka were on an episode, actually, in the Ozarks.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Were they, like, playing music?
They were playing in a living room when he was hanging out. They played a song, and then they drank beer and shot shotguns. That was, like, their segment. They just shot shotguns and drank beer, and, like, I think they grilled out or something, but they really didn't focus on the food at all. They just kind of focused on hanging. Like, this is what you do in the Ozarks. You play acoustic instruments. It's really pretty fucking stereotypical and demeaning, now that I think about it. Because they made them, like, black out a couple of their teeth and wear, like, hillbilly clothes, like, overalls. And for some reason, they all were shoeless.
Now you have sex with your sister, and then we'll shoot a gun.
Well, Anthony kind of walked like, "Whoa, sorry, I thought this was the bedroom." And then like, "Bathroom's outside, city slicker." And
classy.
And that's how the Bloomington episode will be. You know what'll happen is he'll probably hang out with fucking John Mellencamp,
right.
And they'll go to farm, exactly. And we'll all fucking just hate it even more. We're like, he'll kick it with Mellencamp and Meg Ryan and. It's been a recurring theme on the podcast is our obsession with his relationship with Meg Ryan. But
you should tell him to hit the Circle K on the corner.
Oh yeah, the barbecue. Yeah, the shortstop. Yeah, yeah. If he's there on a Thursday. But anyway, so you were just coming back. We started this 8 minutes ago. So you just got back from tour.
Yeah.
And how long were you guys on a tour for?
Almost 7 weeks, all told.
Okay, so coast to coast.
Coast to coast. Started on the East Coast and went south. We. Didn't go to Florida, but we hit most other places, and came back for a couple days, and then went out west.
Keep riffing on that. I'm going to put the second half of the challenge into the fridge, so it is at least drinkable.
And sterile.
Yes.
Yeah, we did, mountain states, all the west coast, southwest, Texas, 4 dates in the beautiful state of Illinois.
That's nice. That's good.
Yeah.
Land of Lincoln.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's very good. And so, overall, good tour. Had good times. And was that the longest tour that you've ever done, personally?
Me, yeah. Well, all at once.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, shorter things here and there.
Right.
But, yeah, this is the longest sort of, all at once kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you're out for 7 weeks. So, space madness settles in.
Right.
And
a little cabin fever.
Cabin fever. Yeah. Sure. And so, like, anything, any stories, anything, like, good, you know, totally awesome, totally horrible, either end of the spectrum?
All right, well, totally awesome. We were in Boise, Idaho, mm-hmm. and we were playing our own headlining gig because we were actually supporting the Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band for most of these dates west yes. of the Mississippi.
Yes.
But they take a lot of days off, so we filled in those gaps with our own headlining gigs. Mm-hmm. We were in Boise, and we were playing like a pretty cool old school punk club type place, you know, just a big concrete box, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people were there having fun, a lot of bands on the bill. We actually opened up for the Vibrators on that one.
Very cool.
Old school UK punk yeah. band, you know.
Very cool.
And we're getting ready, we're setting up, and Austin and I are carrying the merch tub from the parking lot up to the front of the venue. And as we turn the corner onto the sidewalk, Wayne Coyne and the Flaming Lips are standing there. Mm-hmm. And Austin's friend, who had set up the show, she was like, "Oh, hey, Austin, this is Wayne. He wanted to come check out your show, you know." And, you know, it's just like, "Oh, hi, I'm yeah. Wayne, I'm Austin, how's it going?" Yeah, and blah, 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 and, you know. And he hung out, you know, the whole time we were setting up and getting ready, and just he was in the parking lot with everybody, just being his normal, cool self.
Now, I have a question, because you just, you pantomimed that Austin and Wayne shook hands,
right.
but how did he do that, like, with the giant inflatable ball that Wayne was in?
Well, he has, have you ever seen The Boy in the Bubble?
Yes.
You know?
So he has
the arm holes to come out. Yeah.
You don't really see that
the plastic
in the concerts.
Gloves. Right,
yeah, so he reached out with his little arm.
Well, he was in the traveling ball.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It wasn't the concert ball.
It wasn't the show ball.
Yeah, you know. When he's a civilian, when he's a pedestrian, yeah. he's got the traveling ball.
Sure.
Yeah. It's on a Segway, too. So, yeah, that was cool. It was a nice surprise, you know, out of nowhere. And, yeah, so, you know, we set up for our set, you mm-hmm. know, and he's just, like, standing there, like, three people deep from yeah. the stage and play our songs, and he's just sitting there watching, like, everybody else. And,
yeah.
Yeah, nice guy. Personable yeah. guy.
Very nice.
That was cool.
We've talked about this before on the podcast. Apparently, I'm the only person in history to ever have a bad interaction with Wayne Coyne. he kicked me off side stage. They weren't even playing. They weren't even fucking
right?
playing. He
yeah.
was also just side stage, and he had me removed at the Cuyahoga Music Festival. Cool. Just like, I had no idea. I wasn't even fucking talking to him. I was watching Sonic Youth. And he was watching Sonic Youth, and I was maybe 12 feet away from him. I was, like, wasn't even close to him.
Well, it's because you were heckling Sonic Youth, man.
Well, I was like, "You're gonna get divorced! Yeah, I can
it won't
tell-
last!
It'll never last! It'll never last!"
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, so he had me removed. Yeah.
So he's on your... He's at the top of your list right now.
No, there's Bill Murray's son is above him. For having me removed from a party after was it Austin City Limits Music Festival? I think it was Austin City Limits Music Festival. Yeah, so we've talked about that on the podcast before.
Okay,
but yeah, where Paul from Langhorne Slim and I got invited into this after hours party by these couple of girls, and Bill Murray was there for some reason, and he. Was kind of over in the corner, just eye fucking the shit out of Jenny Lewis and her friend, mm-hmm. and then a bunch
who
of
you were
dudes,
heckling.
Who I was heckling. I was like, "You weren't that good in The Wizard. Fred Savage carried that movie, bitch." Maybe I'm starting to see now why I'm getting removed from all these places. No, I'd say Bill Murray's son is probably above Wayne Coyne.
He's on the top of the douche list.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more. I try to focus on the positives.
Right.
You know? Like this week, who's on the top of the list? Let's be positive about this now. So, all right. So that was a cool. I got a star encounter.
Yeah.
And after the show, he smoked you guys out, and then
yeah.
Okay. Is
with
that true?
The best meth in Nebraska from Nebraska.
Yes.
Transported to Idaho because that's where.
Even though he's from Oklahoma, but that's okay. But well, he picked it up in Nebraska on the way to Idaho. Gee,
I still wake up. I'm like, what state am I in?
Exactly. Yeah. It all gets confused there. What about the low point? What about? Let's talk some like Nikki Six autobiography points here.
Well, yeah. After I decorated my Christmas tree with hypodermic needles.
Sure.
No, there was a. There we had a brush with the law.
Mm.
We were driving from San Diego to Tempe, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you take the highway in Arizona that's as close to the Mexican border as possible without actually crossing the border. You know, sure. The highway's basically on the fucking border. So they have border patrol there, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of traffic going back and forth there, so they just do routine stops. Basically, anyone who drives on that highway gets stopped.
You know. And you being Italian, right. The forefather of the Mexicans, they sense a little trouble.
We got Pancho Villa in here, pull it over. And as we leave San Diego, you know, because Austin is, he's seasoned. He's been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, we're going through this stretch of highway. So if anyone has anything on them, get rid of it now.
Right.
And we have a pretty conservative policy anyway about holding anything in the van.
Sure.
It's basically only hold what you can eat at any given moment.
Right.
And no paraphernalia at all.
Yeah.
So it's pretty smart.
Yeah. You know?
So he says that as we're leaving San Diego. I have a piece of oregano sure. about this big, you know, tiny little.
Okay, and he's making it's an audio podcast, so I'll say that maybe an inch.
Right.
Maybe not even an inch.
At the most.
Yeah. Like a little nugget of oregano.
Well, it's oregano, so it would be like, you know, however many millimeters.
Right.
Because
sure.
the Italian-Mexican system, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I just swallow that, no problem, and go to sleep, basically, like you do in the van.
Yeah.
And our drummer, who shall remain nameless,
probably Googleable, but nameless.
He had a lot more on him, which he had picked up in California. We just came from California. He had medicinal grade, pretty good stuff.
Oregano.
Yes. Yeah. The kind you make the really good pizza with.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And basically, he's like, okay, yeah, I'll take care of it. Fine. You know, that was the end of this discussion. And he and I wake up at the Border Patrol. It's like we roll up, and just like we expected, they're like, okay, guys, everybody, an American citizen, blah, 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 y'all doing okay? And everyone's like, yeah. And the dogs take a real liking to the van. And so they pull us over, and Austin, again, is like, okay, we got rid of everything, right? And the aforementioned band member basically admits that he hadn't, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And he pulls this amazing sort of like MacGyver thing that, you know, I'm watching him the whole time. And this all happens over a period of maybe, you know, 2 seconds.
Right.
Where like they're watching us pull the van over.
Right.
We're watching him. And I don't even see it happen, but he swallows the whole thing like that. And he leaves a container in the van. He had it in a little pill container, you know. So basically everything's gone.
Right.
He swallows it. Somehow he's chewing and swallowing as we're getting out of the van, and you know, they frisk us and they ask us all the questions and they take our IDs and we empty our pockets and the whole, you know, this whole thing lasts an hour. While they're doing that, they got the dogs in the van searching, and of course they find that container that he had the oregano in, and
dogs, you know, pizza.
Oh yeah. Especially half Mexican dogs.
Yeah.
It was part Chihuahua, part, you know, bloodhound.
Yeah.
And the Border Patrol guard with the dog comes over with it, and she's just like, well, you know, I can tell what's going on here, and could have you guys arrested for this. This is a felony, because it is paraphernalia, and there is residue in it, which I can see, and of course, I know if we test this, you guys are screwed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we understand, you know, and they all know it's him. Mm-hmm. They know that the other three of us, since we're 20 years older than he is,
right?
They're like, it's not these guys, it's him.
Which is a great cover.
Exactly, like, yeah.
Take some young dipshit with you on tour. Fucking
pin
it all
the attention.
Pin it all on him. A lot of tattoos, a mohawk, right. Like fucking, you know.
The pot leaf t-shirt, yeah.
Yes. Like the fucking, this is, you know, like the First Amendment t-shirt or whatever, you know, like, cops love that shit.
Yeah.
All right, so they're saying we could do this if we wanted to.
Right, and they're basically just like, please, is there anything else in there? Are you holding anything else? Stop wasting our time.
Right.
You know, because they could be busting, you know,
carloads
of families trying to enter the states illegally.
Yes.
And we're just like, no, seriously, we got nothing. And the funny thing is that, like, while she's searching the van and we're just sitting there, the other border guards who are, like, standing guard over us are trying to, you know, spark conversation and stuff and asking us, you know, oh, so, like, oh, you play every night, and, like, you get paid enough to live on, and, like, you know, the typical questions, and when you're a band, you're like, no, we don't make any money.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of the guards says about the guard dog, he's like, okay, now when that dog comes around, don't look at him in the eye, because he'll bite your face. And Brad, later, Brad Bowdy and I admitted to each other, like, it was all we could do not to just crack up at that point. She's like, oh, come on, man, you know, like, enough of the crazy, scary tactics. Like,
yeah.
So the upshot is that, you know, they don't find anything else.
Yeah.
They realize what happened. They realize it was just a ridiculous waste of time.
Yeah.
And that band member, you know, exercised some poor judgment.
Sure.
So they let us go. And having ingested that much high-grade stuff, by the time we got to Tempe that night and we played the gig...
He was awesome.
He was having a hard time keeping his shit together.
Yeah, you know? He was playing The Wall in its entirety.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was like, what? Where did those rototoms come from?
Only on like 16 RPM.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, we all felt bad for him, but at the same time, we were laughing at him because he brought it upon himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And he later described it. You know, it lasted about 36 hours for him. He later described it as the first half was the most amazing trip ever, and then the second half he just wanted to die and he felt like his body was going to fall apart. So that was our brush with the law.
There you go. There
we made it out safe.
You made it out all right.
Made it to Tempe. After that, made it to Albuquerque and got all the meth that we could snort.
Sure.
And then, you know, came back home.
In Albuquerque, did you play what's the Rock and Roll Hotel that has the venue in it?
No. We played a place called, I don't remember.
Okay. The Launchpad, is that in Albuquerque?
That sounds right.
That's like more the punk rock club. Yeah. But they also have this amazing old hotel that someone bought, and they have, like, they turned the ballroom into a rock and roll club, and then you stay in this old hotel, and it's, like, awesome slash sucks, because the rooms are, like, 12 by 12, maybe. Like, they're just tiny.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, ah. But, like, it's just, it's a cool vibe. It's a different thing, but, yeah. Sorry. Just
that's
a side thing. You know, I was on tour one time with Will Whitmore, and we got pulled over going into Boston. Came over a crest. We're coming into Boston, basically in rush hour. I see the cop sitting in the median, like, way off. So I slow down to the speed limit. Mm. Of course, everybody else is in rush hour traffic. They're just fucking going 75 miles an hour or whatever. Well, the cops pull us over because it was suspicious that I was going the speed limit. Now, I was on this tour because Will had gotten a DUI, and so I was out driving, because usually tours alone. And so I was out driving, MTMing, and merching, and just kind of doing like a kind of jack-of-all-trades thing. So at first, they're just like really focused on this idea of like, well, wait, he owns the car, but you're driving. I was like, yes, I've explained to you. He's the musical artist. He has a DUI. He can't drive himself. He's hired me to drive him around in his car. You know, like, this is not that hard.
Wait, let me wrap my head around
this. So a second Boston cop car pulls up, and they're both trying to figure this out or whatever. And they see, like, Will has a DUI. They're like, well, we see you have a DUI. We're like, we told you that already. Like, you don't have to look at his look up his license. We've already told you that part.
Yeah.
So we go through this whole thing, and they're like, what about you? You got anything? I'm like, no. Like, why would you hire me if I was a felon or whatever? And so it's just back and forth and back and forth. They're like, so where are you guys off to? And then as soon as we say, we're going to the Avalon, he's opening for the Pogues. Boom. Immediately, we're fine to go.
Nice.
Because, you know.
Oh, the Pogues.
The Pogues. Irish show. The Irish Pogues. Oh, Boston. Diggity, 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 you know, whatever. So if you're
and the Celtics are coming to the show too.
Exactly, yes. And we're going to be doing a shot for shot recreation of The Departed and Good Will Hunting. So we really got to go, officer. We got a lot on our plate.
Nice.
How's that natty daddy treating you?
Pretty good. Probably halfway, maybe.
Sam almost threw it, because I...
Ah, damn.
Like Austin, with the road being seasoned, with this I am seasoned, I know it's better to get through it quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Before it even begins to get warm.
Exactly. You're like, nah. All right, so
you can enjoy the sounds of me gulping.
Sure, you gulp and I'll talk for a while. And so you are here in place of our regular co-host, Nick, who we're going to call here in a little bit, even though he doesn't know that we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He is out on the road. It's his last day on the road with Murder by Death. And then they're coming back into town. Now, you were on the road for 7 weeks. Did you get any tail? You're a single guy. Did you get any tail?
Some muskrat, some squirrel.
Sure. Yeah,
and a deer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope to God that you were literally describing three different women in that manner. This is like, that's why you create.
I'm going to call you the muskrat.
Whatever, daddy. Whatever, natty daddy. You're my natty daddy. You tell me what you want.
That's right.
I'm going to take that as a no, then.
All right, come on. I'm just skirting around the issue.
You don't have to give names or states or details. No, I'm going to ask for some details, but not names or states. Maybe some states.
And I'll put it this way.
It doesn't have to be the full thing. Did you get some action of some sort? Because you're a good looking guy. You're on the road. You're
I came close. I came close. All right. And the thing is, in this particular band,
sure,
I'm competing with the drummer who shall remain nameless, who's very young and very cute and very built and plays drums like a maniac and is very attractive to lots of the muskrats and squirrels because of that.
Sure.
And then you got Mr. Brett Bowdy on the banjo and the fiddle there, who has a, you know, he has a much more
quiet intensity.
Well, a much more mature,
sure,
attractive quality.
Sure.
Attractive nonetheless.
Yeah.
Very handsome man.
Very handsome man.
And a very, yeah.
Ladies love him until they get to know him. We can say that about Brett, I think.
Yeah, and the mysterious quality.
The mysterious,
The tall, dark stranger who doesn't really say much. And is he pissed off? Is he not pissed off? I don't know. But
can
like,
I fix him? Yeah. Can I solve him? Can
exactly.
I fix him? Yeah.
And first I'll just get in his pants. You know?
Yes, exactly. The first clue is down there, I think, to solving him.
So basically, I had heavy competition.
Sure.
That's my excuse.
All right. We can change the topic. That's fine.
No one's paying attention to the, pudgy middle-aged bass player in this group. Like, they're looking at the other...
You know,
they're looking at the other eye.
You could have just said bass player, because those other two are just implied by bass player.
So it's not to be confused with the petite female Japanese bass player.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You're not an alternative rock band. Come on now. All right. Well, the reason I ask you this is because we have an ongoing segment here on the podcast called Around the World in 80 Lays.
Uh-huh.
It was named by our friend P. Schreiner. And what it is we have a recurring bit called the vicarious Life of Mark Cross, which is Nick's dad, and which that every bad, awful, sinful thing that Nick does, he's actually doing so that his dad can live vicariously through him. We asked his dad on the 20th episode, we called him, and we said, what's the one thing you want Nick to do vicariously for you? And his dad told us, very frankly, that he's always wanted to have sex with, like, different women of different races.
Okay.
Like, the rainbow.
Right.
I think is how he called it. So Nick is now on a quest.
Right.
To have sex with every different race of woman. So,
he's putting together his own United
Nations. Yes, exactly. He's going around the world in 80 lays.
Well, so this tour, I can't contribute anything from this tour.
But maybe in previous.
But I can tell you, like,
obviously Mexicans, because as their lord and dominions, as an Italian, you can just come into anyone's house, Mexican's house. Your firstborn daughter. You must pay a pittance to me.
Yeah, that never happened.
Is that worse, or is it calling ladies a muskrat worse? Which is worse?
See, I didn't even... You took it from the livestock to the ladies there.
Yeah.
Or the wildlife to the ladies. I was,
All right,
I was trying to make a bestiality joke.
Sure, okay. All right, well, you know, some of those ladies, it counts.
So are you asking for, like...
So, yeah.
Lifetime
experience list.
Okay, so...
And just before you start, white doesn't count. We've already covered that. White does not... That is not in the rainbow.
Okay, yeah, but define white, because a lot of people would say, for instance, Italians aren't really white.
Nope. I mean, okay, Northern Italy.
All right, so African-American.
All right, boom.
And I think I can trump everyone with this one, the Native American.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
We haven't had that yet.
And, of course, Asian-American.
And of course, that's a gimme. I did go to college. Like, it just happens when you go to college, I guess. All right, so Native American, Asian American, and then the African American.
Right.
Anyone who wasn't of the American, like anyone's like full on African or full on Native.
Well, no, you already said Italian doesn't count. So
exactly.
I can't
all right. So, well, I mean, but if it was like an exchange student from Japan. She's not Asian American. She's
Japanese. No, yeah, she's
things
saying.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Yeah. So I have to ask, because the Native American one is a little bit more. It's a rarer trading card, right. You know, if you will. Although I did off mic, off podcast with a very famous comedian that I opened for recently. I was telling him about this podcast and about this segment of it, and his was an Eskimo at Burning Man. And I said, you must have gotten like 10,000 Burning Man points for finding the one Eskimo and fucking her at Burning Man.
So what can you trade those in for, like the next Burning Man?
You get to drive the fucking mechanical robot that somebody built. All right, so Native American, were you on the res? Did you just go in there with like carrying like pack like just cartons of cigarettes?
Yeah. Generic cigarettes.
Generic cigarettes. Like, let's party.
Yeah, and the cheapest bum wine available.
Yeah.
No, it was Sterno actually.
It was Sterno.
No.
No, that we was laugh because it actually happened.
That was in Bloomington actually.
It was in Bloomington. Yeah. So Bloomington's one Native American.
It was a former student of mine.
Oh.
Yeah. Which does that like
that? Well, more it gets points for more that points for me. Yeah, yeah. Right. So you violated some ethical codes of the university.
Absolutely. Well, I was in the Italian department. Come on.
Oh, so there are no. That's ethical. Part of the there contract. Are no ethical. All right. Yeah. You've got to be a sexist man. Have you seen who our prime minister is? Come on now, get out there and fuck some kids. all right. So she was a Native American taking Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in your own punchline there. All right.
But I said former student.
Former. Okay? So not during. So
not during, right. No.
So, do you know
what full-blooded Italian instructors do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I waited until they were, out of my class.
Yeah. So, so do you know what tribe she belonged to?
Winnebago.
I think she was lying to you. I think. Is this just your way of saying she was a big girl?
See, I set you up, and you walked right through the door. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, I'll take the easy shot. I don't care. Well, did you and this Winnebago lady go on vacation together? Hey, go down to Bristol for some NASCAR? What did you do? What did you and this Winnebago lady do?
Man, went to Branson.
Alright, so we are getting ready to start the second half of the drinking challenge. Are you about done?
I'm getting there. I'm pretty close. Yeah. Daddy's about to leave again.
Alright, but before we start this, we will call Nick. I believe that he is in a van on its way back to Indiana right now.
Nice.
And we'll put him on speakerphone here. We'll see how he has done. He's been on the road for just a short time here, but we'll see if he's filled in the rainbow at all. This is good. This is good. Good radio. I don't know why he's not picking up.
What's up, man?
Hey, you're live on Nick and Alex's... No, wait, you're Nick. Never mind. We've been drinking. We're doing the podcast. What's up?
In the van.
Are you driving?
No.
Do you have something you can drink right now of a boozy persuasion?
No, I don't.
Can you open up one of Matt Armstrong's veins and just start sucking?
I could possibly do
by
that.
Vein, he means penis.
By vein, I mean penis.
What's that? Oh, you mean penis?
Yes. So we're calling to check in. We just completed Alex's sexual rainbow history. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? African American, Asian American, and hold on, Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so we're calling to see if you've filled in any shades of the rainbow on this tour.
No, nothing. No progress.
And why is that?
No opportunities, man.
You were not tour managing. You were only slinging merch.
Yeah. I missed some, like, I had two chances, but they were nice ways to try, and afterwards it was no good.
Okay, but what race were the two chances that you had?
Hey, we got a whole podcast to record tomorrow, but between me and you, right?
So, that's right, yes. Okay, all right. You want to save your story of failure for tomorrow's podcast. Okay.
Yeah, I have many failures to tell you.
Well, let me ask you this then, because he couldn't really think of anyone, but maybe he will after this. Do you have any embarrassing stories about living with Alex Mann for a year?
Ah!
Night terrors.
Okay, well, we're going to explore that now on the podcast. So, we'll see you tomorrow.
Or tonight,
yes.
From my end, or what's going on here?
All right. Well, drive safe and,
Yeah, we already hit a deer last night.
Well, save it for tomorrow. Isn't that what you want to do? Save it tomorrow?
Yeah. There's a teaser for you.
Okay. That sounds awesome in the story that I don't even want to talk about. All right. Unless deer is, like, code for hooker, and then... Okay, well, there you go. It goes from lot lizard to lot deer. All right, gotcha. So, all right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Suck it. All right, so night terrors, apparently, Mr. Mann.
Well, you know, by night terrors, he means basically a breakout in song, you know, little guys and dolls, a little South Pacific.
Oh, so it's terrors for everyone else in the house. Well, I don't know if this is going to help or make it worse. But we are now going to, as a team, take on the 32 ounces of Milwaukee's Best Ice. It's only 5.9% alcohol. It is a very girthy can.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but it is as I have been described to me by a few ladies, like Rob Ross's penis.
The Rob Ross
of cans, exactly. So we're going to share this. Are you okay? You got cold sores?
We could get some glasses if you want. We could just go.
I think we just go mono y mono.
All right.
And get mono. Little Italian joke there for you, my friend. And I know all the Mexicans at home are loving that one as well.
Don't forget the Chinese.
You know that I never do. All right. Wow, that is quite refreshing. I gotta say, after the daddy issues, I'm sorry, the natty daddy, that is like a delightful little... Mm, exactly, yes. It's crisp, it's light, we like it.
Wow.
It's a good time. Yeah. All right, so, but you suffer from night terrors?
I did, and I think they've gotten a lot better lately, because...
Stress-induced?
I'm not sure. I think Jägermeister had something to do with it.
Really?
I do, yeah. Well, when
so it's like blackout drunk night terrors or something?
Like, no, not like blackout drunk, but just I think like I stopped drinking Jägermeister basically, and that coincided with that sort of
going away.
And
so
it may not have only, and I've talked to other people too, who have been like, yeah, that shit makes me do crazy shit at night and this and that and can't sleep and all that kind of stuff.
That's so weird.
There may have been like stress. There were also health issues too.
Because you almost died.
I almost died. And the reason was because like I wasn't sleeping. I was just running around at night screaming and, you know, threatening people, basically.
Wait, this is the night terrors? This is what happened? Like it's...
There was a while where I had a really low... hemoglobin,
right?
Iron deficiency, and basically not enough blood in my body.
Sure.
And that definitely contributed to sleep issues.
Right.
And before I was aware of that, my occasional bar habits included lots of shots of Jägermeister.
Sure.
Which is usually a smart idea if you have enough blood in your body. Yeah, it's fine. You know, and your iron is up. Yeah, you know, go for it every night.
It's like vitamins at that point. Yeah.
So I think the combination of, sorting out my health issues and cutting out the Jaeger helped. Because I lived with Nick for a year.
Right.
And from what he's told me, basically the first half, when all that shit was going on, was when he would hear me do things like pound the wall and, like, just...
Not like that. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I was getting ready to high five.
And then after she went home, I had a night terror.
Hey!
No.
So let's this muskrat, squirrel, deer, or wall. And also Winnebago. That is like your five.
He was in on the deer lingo too. You hear that?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. That's why I flipped into the hooker thing. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting. So he
said every once in a while he would hear me do things like, you know, like hit the wall or like moan and kind of. I don't know if it was ever like full on screaming or anything. But.
I have two stories about night terrors, both from touring. First one, very whimsical. Very whimsical. Actually, they both are, because I'm a funny guy. The first one was TMing Murder by Death fairly early in my career, TMing them. A lot of grab ass back in those days. A lot of wrestling would happen every single night in the hotel. And we actually, for some reason, a bunch of kids came back from the show to our hotel room. I don't know how this happened or like why, but there's just like a bunch of people in the room. And so I believe it was Ben Bustle and maybe Adam. And they start wrestling. They start wrestling. And they're fucking all over the room or whatever. Ring, ring.
Wait, they were wrestling or fucking all over the
room? Wrestling. They were both. They're very close. They're wrestling all over the room, and the phone rings. So I'm like, everybody, wait, shut up. Get everybody completely quiet. I answer the phone like this. Hello? And they're like, yes, this is the front desk, and we've had a lot of complaints about the noise going on in your room. I'm like, really sorry, I suffer from night terrors. I'm so sorry. I didn't think it would happen. And then it was just like silence on their end. They're like, okay, sorry, we called you. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm gonna just stay up.
I'll put the restraints back.
No. I'm just like, I'm just gonna stay up. And they're like, okay, have a good night. And they click. Like that was their thing. Another time I was on a Sam Lowry tour, my buddy Nathan as my sideman, and we played this show. Where the fuck were we? I can't remember now where we were. Some small town. This girl came out, and she was a Winnebago, if you will. She was a larger lass. She was a larger and she was very nice, though. And we didn't have anywhere to stay, and we kind of stay on stage. We're like, hey, we're looking for a place to crash or whatever. And she's like, oh, you can crash my place. She's very funny. She's very nice. And so we're like, cool. And she's like, I have to go to this other bar and watch my friend play or whatever. She takes us to the other bar. Her friend is in this amazing band. Like, fucking really, it's just like everything's going awesome. We're like, oh, this is like a score. This is really good.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe in Akron, Ohio or Dayton, Ohio where this happened. But so then we go back to her place, and she's just like, hey, you know, like, she's like, I have an old Nintendo if you guys want to play Mario Kart. Like, it was just, like, literally everything you want to have happen on tour.
Sure.
And it was like, fuck yeah, we want to. Right. You know, like, so we're playing Mario Kart with her or whatever and just kind of fucking around. And so then, she starts, like, putting the eyes on Nathan, thank God, not me. But just, I was married. So I don't have any awkwardness kind of at this, you know, same.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So she's putting eyes on him, and he refuses. So she goes to bed, and we lay down. And we're kind of giggling, like, oh, what a crazy awkward night. And that girl really wanted to have you go into her bedroom with her. And so then we're sleeping, maybe an hour of like, oh, finally getting some sleep. And then just like, out of her bedroom. And we're just like,
very sexy noises.
Yeah, no. Like, she's in there by herself. Like, it's her night terrors. It's her night terrors. And we're just like, oh, my God. This suddenly went from, like, great to awful. So there's no sleeping all night. Just like, we're like, oh. Oh, my God.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, those are my night terror stories.
There was one time when Medusa was on tour on the East Coast. I can't remember where we were. We were in a hotel room. You know, Motel 6, and we're all sleeping in the same room, and I'm on the floor, and I think Scott Van Buren is also on the floor, and, you know, we've all fallen asleep, and I can't remember what the dream was, but I had one of those dreams where you just shoot upright screaming, you know? So, like, I'm just like, ah! And the minute I do that, Scott shoots up and screams back at me, just like, ah! Like, reaction, like, ah! And the other three guys are just like, what the, like, half awake, like, what the fuck just happened?
Good stuff.
Yep.
All right, so we always like to let people know that listen to the podcast. Things that are happening in the general Bloomington area.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we're doing, things that we're not doing. And what about those things now? Do you have something that you're going to do this week?
Yeah, I'm going to the final Throwing Stars show. on Saturday.
All right. Where would that be?
At the Bishop. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a big affair. Like, they've got a video that they're going to show beforehand, play their set, and then they're going to have a funeral for the band. And
very
I'm curious to see what that entails.
Sure.
But it should be a good time. I've always loved that band, and I'm sad to see them go.
I'm with you. They're one of my all-time favorite bands, local bands. Amazing. It's sad that they're calling it quits. I will also be there. My thing that I am doing, though, that would have been my top pick, but since you picked
I thought you might have picked that.
But my secondary pick is I am also going to be going to the Bishop on Friday to see Jonathan Richman.
Right.
It's I feel really good about it because not only is he a great performer, very funny, kind of like in his own universe, kind of he's like a guy that occupies his own space in the world. And but also I feel comfortable in the fact that I won't be the oldest aging hipster at that show. Like I'll be
feels good when that happens,
amongst,
doesn't
I'll be
it?
Amongst yeah. friends there. Yeah. We're all like, well, yeah. we still got tattoos and beards, but gray hair and mortgages. So that's what I'll be doing. Now, nice. What are you gonna not be doing this week?
I don't think I'm gonna go see the She-Loaf show on Monday.
Now, what is the She-Loaf show? I'm not.
It's a Meatloaf cover band.
Okay.
And my friends and roommates had another Meatloaf cover band.
Oh, they were so you together got beef
for a while.
So you got beef.
It's a little bit of beef.
All right.
And it's also. You know.
And also a little bit of loaf.
You know, I don't want... a lot of loaf.
A lot of loaf. Yeah. A little bit of beef, a lot of loaf.
And, yeah, you know, I don't want to sit here and shit talk.
No, you shouldn't shit talk, but you're not going to go...
I'm just not interested in seeing that particular group
of version of it.
People play music.
Okay.
And I'll just put that out there.
Yes, yeah. That's... I think that's still like, technically yeah. shit talking, but okay, right. that's good. Yeah.
But I said it so eloquently.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. You did. You said it slowly enough right. with spaces between the words that you were like the captcha of sentences. Like, fuck, I don't know. Is that, it's a swirly F? Is it a swirly S? I can't tell what that is right there. I'm trying to think of what I will not be doing. I should have picked something. I'll not be giving in to cynicism. And being aloof and doing a dickish costume for Halloween, I'm gonna go into the spirit of Halloween. We're gonna hand out candy to the kids. Gonna get dressed up. I'm gonna do something.
You're gonna
fun.
Get dressed up as you like.
I think so. Yeah.
You and Denise are gonna be yeah, home dressed yeah. up, handing out candy.
I think so. Yeah.
That's
we're
pretty
gonna,
cool. Man.
We're gonna go like okay. yeah. I'm on this thing of like, which I think maybe happens as you get closer to 40. Right. I don't know. Like you just kind of like you wouldn't know, but. Such a long, those are, I mean, if you can remember back to those days, if you can remember back.
I do remember the 1890s, yeah.
If you can remember back to when you were 40. No, you just kind of like eclipse the sort of thing like of just, cynicism is awesome and perfect for your 20s. Mm. It's perfect for that. But as you move through your 30s, you should fucking shed it like a skin. And like that's the thing, it's like, no, it's awesome that kids fucking want to get dressed up and fucking come to my house and do candy. And like,
right.
these things are cool. Like, yeah. these are good things. And so I'm just like, I want to go with that. So I'm not going to be a cynical dick and like, oh, I'm fucking zombie Lauren Spear or whatever. You know, like, whatever the cynical asshole thing is that you can do. This, okay, now I just gave everybody a costume idea. That's good. All right.
Well, no, if okay. I, yeah, no, if I had, if I were in that situation where, you know, like I was yeah. married and yeah. I had a house and in a nice neighborhood, like yeah. I could
you,
see myself.
You're in a nice neighborhood.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean.
Not a lot of kids probably in your neighborhood. We got some kids.
We got a few, but I don't consider, it's probably not heavily trafficked Halloween night.
They probably know not to come to your house.
Well, they know that.
Yeah.
Kids and adults alike know that. But yeah, if I were in that situation, I could totally get into that as well,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Because here, if we did it, it'd be like, hey kids, welcome to the bachelor house. you want some, we got some moldy cheese that, you know. Yeah. We're not going to go out and buy candy for people.
Oh, we've already bought our candy, yeah. And been eating it while we play video games. all right, so we have a few minutes left.
And then we're still working on this.
So a few minutes left on the podcast. You were a fantastic guest. You brought snacks.
Well, thank you.
You're funny. You got stories. Yeah. Now, outside of Austin Lucas, you've done short tours
right.
with your new metal bands. State fairs mostly, right?
Right.
Corn at the Iowa State Fair.
Nursing homes.
Nursing homes. No, but so like from the previous tour stories, like anything stand out? Anything crazy? Ever quote unquote hit a deer?
I hit a deer when I was 16 in a Chevette.
Yeah.
Up in the fields of northern Indiana.
Is that when you lost your virginity? Is that what you're saying?
Well, right, I knocked out its back leg so it couldn't run away.
Hey! Went from awkward sexual metaphor to rape metaphor. Alright. Fantastic.
No, but there was a happy ending there because right behind me. Oh, yeah. Because the deer was practicing the art of massage. Yeah.
No. You know, those films are a lot softer than they look.
Well, it was actually fun.
You know, it was really just a lot of those, like, please continue. Go ahead.
Yes. Behind me on the highway were just some good old boys in a pickup truck with a gun rack, you know? So, like, I knocked out the deer's back legs, and it basically... I mean, it's kind of gruesome, but it dragged itself off of the highway into the field, you know, and it was just in... But these guys were right behind me, and they're like, you know, they're seasoned hunters, and they're like, okay, we'll go out and, you know, put it out of its misery, take care of it.
Right.
Like, well, God, thank... Because I'm 16, and my fucking Chevette, and I'm freaking out, you know, like... And so the sheriff comes, and, you know, we follow the report and everything, and the sheriff lets these guys just take the deer home, and they have venison.
Right.
You know? So...
But you fucking... You should have got some of the venison, right?
Yeah,
I mean they had the kill shot, but you know, they wouldn't have.
I could have gotten like a burger out of it.
Yeah, least. They would never have caught that deer without you.
Right,
you hadn't ran into it with your car. So yeah, the Chevette was like a muscle car, kind of like.
No, it was a 1980 Chevette, I think, silver four door, like great shape, you know. It lasted until I was in high school, and my parents let me drive it, and the deer actually didn't fuck it up that much. Like, it kind of messed the grill up a bit, and one of the headlights was kind of bent, but that was it. It was fine.
What a shitty deer.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't even know how to throw his body weight into the front of your car and
fucking lazy.
Possibly also kill you.
It was probably just like, oh, Chevette, this is how I'm going out, Chevette? Yeah. Oh, fuck you. I won't even tear it in half.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I'm going to knock on this table now. I've never hit a deer. I have had a deer hit me jump into the side of my car, which was terrifying and weird. Like,
is that
kind of
like
when
a bird flies into a window?
No, I don't think it was doing it because it saw its own reflection. It was trying to fight it. It was like, oh, there's another 10-point buck in this territory. I got to take it down. No, it was trying. It just like it missed the timing.
Uh-huh.
I was in the van with Murder by Death one time. The name of the van, the trailer, where we're in Canada, and an elk tried to jump between the van and trailer as we were like going down the highway, and did not make it. And it fucked the trailer all... I mean, it was just, like, crumpled.
Jesus Christ,
like, it was just this gigantic fucking... And it seemed to be fine. It just ran off. But it was just like, oh, well, you just totally destroyed this fucking trailer. All right, that's great.
What was in the trailer?
We come back
did
around
the gear get fucked up?
No, not that time.
That's good.
There's been plenty of other times that they've peeled the roof off the trailer, and then I also one time drove the trailer into a tree. The tree was arcing over the street, a very, like, cinematic sort of, like oh, it's
and you
just,
were admiring
just,
the natural beauty.
No, I didn't realize. It was the sort of thing you would see, like, on the cover of, a fucking movie from, like, a coming-of-age story in Georgia. Like, two teens walking down the street, and, like, the trees are arching over. It was in Jersey, though, actually, where it happened. And it was just parked there, and the tree was, like, getting into the van. I'm like, oh, that tree is, like, oh, we should just kind of, like, get out of the way. I also then was, like, fucking around my phone, trying to get directions to see where we're going. Boom, right into the tree. Corner of the trailer. Crushed in, giant chunks of tree just inside the fucking...
Damn.
Inside the fucking trailer. It was fine. Everything inside was fine, but the trailer was kind of... All right. I'm glad we could end this episode on a story of failure. All right, that's good. So Native American, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we didn't talk about the African American, though.
Okay.
Also a former student?
No.
No?
No, this is Way back...
Interned secretly Canadian?
No, this is when I lived in New Haven, Connecticut.
What?
I was 22.
All right. And she was the only black female in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, absolutely not. No. Oh. New Haven is a pretty urban area.
Oh, really?
For a small town, it's very diverse.
Well, I learned something today. All right.
And she was a nursing student.
Wow. All right.
She was 30.
And how old were you?
And I was 22. And, she was attractive, and she was very forthright.
All right. Now, what's she doing these days? What do you...
No idea.
No? It's Facebook?
Well, I mean, now she's got to be, in her 80s, 90s. Well, but hopefully she's still around.
I hope that she's... exactly.
Florence Nightingaling it to the other senior citizens.
Oh, see, I really thought you were going to, take Florence Nightingale and make it real urban at the end of it. I don't know what that would be.
Florence Nightingale.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's not as good as I thought.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's all right. It's okay. Finish that off. The Milwaukee's best ice. I'm going to go on record saying it's a lot better than the Hattie Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the choice. I do want to point out that I bought all three of these things for about $5.68.
Well done.
Thank you.
Because I spent $7 on these muffins.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, so this has been Nick and Matt's Infinite Shitlist, episode 23. Our special guest tonight has been Alex Mann. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
For being here. Nick is coming back home. We're going to do an episode with him and James Dean, not the popular actor, but tour manager, sound engineer, and then hopefully we'll have done a show with both of us, though.
Excellent.
And then the two of you can get into, old roommate beefs.
Oh, that'll be
fun.
I'll
just sit back.
Yeah.
And laugh. All right. Any final words for the peoples?
For the peoples? Stay in school. Avoid Jägermeister.
Avoid hemoglobin. Not avoid.
Other people's hemoglobin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right.
And watch out for those deers.